Lonely Heart 4122 by Colin Watson. Dramatised for radio by Christopher Dennis.
But I'm sure you must be exaggerating a little, Mrs. Palmer. No, no, I'm certainly not calling you a liar, but, well, they can't possibly be singing Rock of Ages all night. And all day. Well, as I said, I sent Constable Pook round to sort it out when you phoned about it the last time, and... Oh, was he? Joining in. Yes, of course. He's a very strong baritone. Yes, very strong. Right. Well, all right, Mrs. Palmer. I'll tell you what. Although it isn't strictly speaking CID business, I'll drop round there myself the first chance I get. No, I can't say when that'll be, no. Yes, I can hear them. Yes, I am lucky I don't live next door to the mission. Well, first chance I get, I promise you. I'd better go now, Mrs. Palmer. I'm wanted. Well, it might be more important. No, I don't suppose it'll be a murder. That's not all that regular a thing in Flaxborough, but...
Sorry to bother you, Inspector.
Yes, yes, I will. Promise. First chance. Goodbye now. God save us. Mrs. Palmer.
Not the one who keeps scoring about the mission in Northgate.
The very same. I don't know what she's worrying about gospel singers for. She can drown them out with her ordinary conversation. Certainly doesn't need to use the phone. What's up, Sid?
Mr. Spain's here. He's asking to see you, Governor.
What, Arthur Spain, the butcher?
That's him.
Wonder what he wants.
Dunno. Won't tell me nothing. Says I look too young to be a policeman, let alone a detective.
It's your boyish complexion, Sid.
Yeah, cantankerous old beggar. I can see you're busy. Want me to get rid of him?
No, no, he's not one to bother us, if he hasn't a reason. Show him in.
This way, Mr. Spain. This is Inspector Purbright.
I know that, don't I? Do I look daft or something?
No, but...
Well, then. Known Inspector Purbright since ever he come to Flaxborough, beside any road.
Oh, sorry.
Morning, Mr. Spain.
Want me to take notes, Governor?
No, I bloody don't.
No, that'll be all right, Sid. I'll give you a shout if you're needed.
Yes. Right.
Now then, Mr. Spain, what can I do for you?
It's our Lillian.
Lillian?
You knew the wife's brother, Jack.
Oh, yes, sad to hear. About a year back, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's his widow, Mrs. Bannister. Our Lillian, it's her.
Is it? I mean, well, what's the matter with her?
She's sold her house.
You mean she's moved?
No. Well, I don't know. She disappeared. I said to the missus, I said, I've not seen our Lillian lately.
Yes?
Well, no more had she. So I asked about a bit. Customers, you know, them as knows her. And they hadn't seen her neither, so I goes round there to her house.
She lives in Cadwell Close, doesn't she? Or she did when her husband was alive.
Well, that's the point. She did, but she don't no more. Never a word. I goes round there and I rung the bell. No answer. I goes round the back, and there's this row of milk bottles not taken in. Must have been over a week's worth. Going green, some of them.
I see.
Well, I was a bit worried about that.
You would be.
So I comes back round the side of the house thinking she might have been taken ill or something, and nobody knowing. And there's this woman, large as life.
Ah. And what woman was that?
This woman what I'm telling you about, aren't I? What's standing in the path there, looking up at the house. There's nobody in, she says. No, there isn't, I says. I've called several times, she says. Sounding a bit put out. What for, I says. Well, to get in, she says to me, like I were barmy. It's mine. Or it will be on the 25th. I've bought it, me and my husband. Well, I'm dumbfounded.
You must have been.
I mean, there's some of our money in that house, the wife's and mine. So I goes to see that Mr. Scorp.
He's a solicitor.
That's right. Miserable old fart as a rule, but he seemed quite pleased to see me. Thought he were calling on her behalf, because there's still quite a lot to be cleared up about this sale, he says. Expect he only meant his bill. But anyway, he's not seen her neither. No idea where she is. I tells him about the milk and that, and that nobody's seen him and that. And then he looks right worried too. Comes over all confidential. There's one point about this sale, he says, which I think, in the circumstances, I ought to mention, he says. Seems that when the contract was signed, he made an advance to our Lillian. Seems she asked for it, about £400. It's sometimes done, you know, he said, provided we have confidence in the parties concerned. And in this case, there was no mortgage. Well, that's not quite true, I says. And I sees him go white. So I tells him as how when Jack died, we lent her enough to pay off what was owing the building society. That set his hands shaking, I can tell you.
I bet it did.
But you see, our Lillian's not one to dodge a debt. If she'd had £400 in her hand, she'd have been round to pay us what she owes that same morning.
I don't like the sound of those milk bottles.
That's what Mr. Scope said. And that's why I've come to you. That's why I didn't want to say nothing to that lad of yours.
You can't think of anyone she might have gone to stay with for a few days.
I can't. No more can the wife.
How old would she be now? 45?
42. No, I tell a lie. 43 last birthday.
I'll be honest, I can't really put a face to her. What would you say she was like, you know? Good looking? Attractive?
I'd not call her a beauty, exactly. No, not a beauty. Quite nice, though. Quiet. But quite nice.
You don't think Mrs. Bannister had any intention of marrying again?
Oh, no.
She hasn't a special friend who was, well, who might have... Anybody close who might have expected to,
What?
No. That money now, Mr. Spain. You don't suppose she might have simply taken it into her head to go off on holiday? Something a bit extravagant, perhaps?
I had wondered, actually. But Lillian's always been so methodical. It's that business of the milk I can't get over. And I'm sure she would have let next door know.
You've asked them?
Sort of. Just casual, you know. Didn't want to set anything off. Don't want every busy beggar knowing your business, do you?
No, of course not. How was she fixed? Financially, I mean.
Comfortable. And them houses are worth a bob or two these days.
Oh, they are that.
Hey, Hope. Is your clock right?
Well, you know what they say about policemen, if you want to know the time.
It's time I was up at the abattoir.
Ah, well, mustn't keep you then. Perhaps we should just let it ride for a few days longer. She must know that she'll have to be back in time to prepare for the other people moving into the house. Of course, if she still hasn't turned up by then, we shall have to see what can be done to trace her.
You don't think I'm making too much of all this? Only Mr. Scott...
Not at all. You've been very sensible, Mr. Spain. Now, if you do think of anything else, I'll be glad to hear from you straight away. Oh, and a photograph. That will be particularly helpful. Sid?
Yes, Scott?
Come in a minute, will you? Thank you, Mr. Spain. As I say, if you think of anything else, however small, just give us a ring. If I'm not here, Sergeant Love will take care of you.
Ah, bet he will at all.
What's up, then?
Come inside, Sid.
Well?
Well, might be too soon to say yet, but I think there's another middle-aged woman gone missing.
Honestly, Lucy, are you sure you're making the right decision? I mean, look at it. Miles and miles of nothing but flat, empty fields all the way to the horizon. And I've never seen the horizon look so far off.
It's the countryside, Mortimer. That's what's known as the countryside.
Yeah. Doesn't look like this in the Cotswolds or in Devonshire.
Of course it doesn't. This is East Anglia, what I believe is called the Fen Country.
But you're a Londoner, Lucy. What on earth will you do out here in this Fen Country? In this, what is it called? Flaxchester?
Flaxborough.
But what will you do there? As I say, you're a Londoner, born and bred. You'll pine away.
I feel ready for a change. For a withdrawal from familiar places and the familiar round. All of my past, or most of it, is in London, after all.
Exactly.
And it's been rather on the point of catching up with me lately. I've always said that if one wants to preserve one's independence and interest in life, not to mention one's liberty, it doesn't do to be caught up with.
Nonsense, you're as alert as ever.
I'm not so sure. There have been one or two occasions in the past year when a lapse of memory, or should I say shrewdness, have put me, well, at a temporary disadvantage. In a way, I'm thankful for them. They are timely reminders of the dangers of complacency.
But what can you do?
I can assure you I shall not be idle. I think that, in my particular line of business, advancing years can only be an advantage, lending as they do an air of respectability. Yes, I think that in my old age, I shall probably be more successful than ever, which may not be true in your case, of course.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
My dear Mortimer, I can't help feeling that youth is an asset to a professional correspondent. An asset which is sadly in decline in your case.
Susanna, teacher, I'm absolutely in my prime. That's how...
Dear Mortimer, you know that I would never mean to be unkind to you. But I do think it's time you started to do as I am doing. Accept that nothing lasts forever and make contingency plans for the future.
I shall certainly not bury myself in some little backwater like Flax Barton.
Flaxborough, and it isn't a backwater.
But as I said before, what can you do? You don't know anyone. Where will you live? I mean, anything might happen to a middle-aged woman all alone.
I've always had to fend for myself, so that won't be any hardship. I am booked in at the Roebuck for the time being, until I find a place of my own. As to what I shall do, I shall start by buying the local newspaper and reading the personal columns from end to end.
And then?
And then I shall think of something. You can depend upon it. Ah, I think we're arriving. Would you help me down with my case, Mortimer, dear?
It'll be very lonely in London without you, Lucy.
Then you must come and see me often. You shall come and stay as soon as I'm settled. You could do with the rest.
I'm in my prime, I tell you.
Here, would you like to finish my cigar?
Oh, thank you.
Now take care of yourself, dear old friend. And good luck with your assignment in whoever's bed it may be in. Where is it?
The Railway Arms, Brockleston-on-Sea.
The Railway Arms? Brockleston-on-Sea? Oh, Mortimer. And to think it used to be the Dorchester and the Savoy.
Flaxborough! Any more for Flaxborough?
Goodness, I must go, or I shall find myself in Brockleston-on-Sea with you.
Take care, dear Lucy.
Don't you worry about me. I'm sure Flaxborough has all sorts of attractions for a middle-aged lady of independent means.
They were both comfortable, independent, and you've got to admit, Sid, the two cases are too similar to look like coincidence. Martha Reckitt vanished 3 months ago, and there's still no sign of Mrs. Bannister.
Do you mean we might have one of those, you know, lady killers? Like that French fella. What was his name?
Landru.
That's him. Or that other fella with the bath.
Well, I hope not.
Well, brighten things up a bit, though, Governor.
You know, every time you call me Governor, I feel as if I ought to be wearing a deerstalker hat and carrying a magnifying glass.
Do you think it is a murder, though, Inspector?
Well, I shall have to find out.
Where are you going?
To have a chat with the Chief Constable.
Blimey. I'd have thought you'd have enough on your plate if we've a Bluebeard on the rampage.
Now then, Sid, Mr. Chubb is the Chief Constable after all, and as
well, I know, but... Well, he's never any help, is he? I mean, no disrespect, but he's not interested in anything except his gardening and those flipping Yorkies of his. How many's he got now?
9 at the last count.
9? And they all look like rats.
Nevertheless, apart from the fact that it is only proper that I keep my Chief Constable informed of all goings-on, I do also find that he helps me to think.
Helps you to think?
You know, if you sit by a still pond, Sid, and drop pebbles into the empty water one at a time, you can watch the ripples spreading outwards across the calm surface.
Yeah?
Well, that's how I find the Chief Constable's mind. Static. I drop the pebbles, the ideas, and watch them spread out over the calm surface. I find it no end of a help.
Isn't it lovely, Mortimer? Flaxborough is absolutely studded with the quaintest little tea shops, but this is my favourite so far.
Lovely.
Now, I won't have socks, so it didn't go well.
Disaster. Unmitigated disaster.
I did warn you. You're too old for those sort of frolics.
Put it down to experience.
Really, Mortimer, at your age you should be reaping the benefits of experience, not starting a dossier.
Anyway, I didn't stop off to bore you with my woes. I was worried about you. I wanted to see if you were all right.
course I'm all right. This place is ideal. It even has a local newspaper 2 days a week.
Hmm?
See here, the Flaxborough Citizen. Let's look through the personals together. It might cheer you up.
Oh, very well. Let's see. Not promising. Mostly commercials. Lots of money lenders. Foolproof chimney cowl.
Denture fixatives.
Learn the mandolin in a week.
Shown the wad, of course.
Certain rubber artifacts to be sent under plain cover.
Good old 1000% and no overheads. Uncle George did so well out of that until the day he died. I still have some of his samples in store somewhere.
Just a minute. Unparalleled opportunity for lovers of unusual art. It can't be.
Good God, it must be. Maisie and Ted are still at it.
Same advertisement they've been running for years.
I remember them starting out.
Real old troopers.
Bless their hearts.
Ah, a business opportunity exists.
Oh, no. No, thank you. Not that one. Ah, now that wasn't in on Tuesday. Perhaps it only appears in the Thursday edition. Look. I'd hardly dare to hope for such a thing. Not in remote, prosperous, hard-headed Flaxborough.
A matrimonial bureau?
Well, what else could it be? Hand-clasp house. Are you weary of the solitary path? Clients from all walks of life. Introductions arranged. View to permanent association. Countless instances of happiness. Small initial fee. No doubt about it.
That's more one of your lines.
That, my dear Mortimer, is exactly my line. I think I can count myself already launched in Flaxborough society.
Now then, Deirdre, surely you know the inspector well enough. Wonderful rattles, you know.
Pretty good with socks, too.
Yes, sorry about that. Down now, girl. Basket! Basket! So, when was she last seen, Inspector Purbright? This second one, I mean.
A window cleaner remembers calling and getting paid about the end of last month. He's been twice since then, and he has the impression that everything in the rooms has stayed exactly as it was.
Well, I mean, he looks in.
He's a very perceptive window cleaner, sir.
Hmm. You've checked the hospitals, I suppose?
Straight away, sir. And Sergeant Love has covered the travel agencies. I'm having the woman's picture circulated, and we're making inquiries at the railway and bus stations, just as we did for Martha Reckitt.
Oh, yes. We didn't get very far with that, did we, Mr. Purbright?
We didn't get anywhere.
No.
Of course, you will have spotted the rather interesting parallels between the two cases.
Parallels? Oh, yes.
Both about the same age, both rather retiring, without close friends, lonely, perhaps. One, a spinster. I use the word technically, sir. It's not one I like. And the other, a widow.
I don't like that one either. Weeds. Of course, you're not a gardener.
No, sir. What I'm getting at, though, is that perhaps the most significant thing they had in common, apart from ready money, was availability.
Oh, I don't know about that, Mr. Purbright. I would have thought them both pretty moral, from what you say. Martha, especially. Her mother was a very decent soul.
I meant matrimonially available.
I'm with you. Yes. Go on.
A woman who keeps a reputation for respectability in Flaxborough for 40 years is not easily lured.
Lured?
I mean, she isn't going to run off with the first man who knocks on the door and tells her he wants her to do some modelling. She would need to be offered a solid proposition, however romantic the trimmings. Of course, you will say that lust seethes within the most maidenly bosom.
Well, I don't think I...
And you will be right. But always there is this prime regard to security.
Well, we talk of luring. We don't really know about that, though, do we?
The only alternative is that Miss Reckitt and Mrs. Bannister went off on their own initiative, without a word to anybody, leaving their belongings and obligations.
Well, such things do happen. Change of life, you know.
Both a little young for the menopause, surely, sir?
Ah.
No, I agree with you.
Really?
Oh, yes. You said luring. Luring is the aspect we must concentrate on. The spontaneous departure theory will hardly work for 2 cases in the same town within so short a time.
Oh, yes, yes, hardly.
And can we have another look at your point about both ladies being matrimonially available?
Your point, surely, Mr. Purbright. Oh, well, perhaps not.
I think we shall find that an offer of marriage has figured at some stage in each case. It's the only bait I can think of that would have worked in the circumstances.
So they might now be married?
Not unless they use false names. We did make appropriate inquiries, you know.
Ah, well, in that case, I don't see that these hypothetical proposals of marriage can be of much help to us, Mr. Pirbright. This guest is likely to have been made before witnesses.
There could be written references to them. We know that neither of these women went out very much. Miss Reckitt's landlady said Martha was almost a recluse, and Mrs. Bannister certainly didn't share in any social whirls. It would be quite in character for a latter-day courtship to be conducted by correspondence. They both tend to be secretive, and a middle-aged woman will often derive quite a lot of excitement from letter-writing. Look at some of our poison pen customers.
Rather not, I think. Now then, dear Drin.
You remember, sir.
Just ignore her. She'll soon lose interest.
You'll remember, sir, that we found nothing in the way of a lead among Miss Reckitt's things, but we weren't likely to anyway. And the landlady had the impression that she kept all her letters in a handbag. I've more hopes of Mrs. Bannister's place. She had the house to herself, so there was no need for her to worry about prying.
You know, Mr. Pirbright, you're quite an expert on female psychology.
Thank you, sir.
I trust you'll never be tempted to turn it to nefarious account. Now let Mr. Pirbright go, Deirdre. There's a good girl. He has work to do. We can't go on losing middle-aged ladies, can we?
Good morning.
We'll be a minute. Day, minute. Manager. Draw book hotel. There. Sorry, can I help you? Oh, good morning. It's Miss Tea Time, isn't it?
It is.
I thought it must be. I've had a few days off. Wasn't here when you booked in. But you're the only lady staying here at the moment.
I tremble to think what the others must be, then.
Pardon?
Nothing.
No. No, you see, I noticed the name.
Not many people forget a name like Tea Time.
No, I don't suppose they do. Can I help you, Miss Tea Time?
I want to find an address. Doesn't seem to be in my street map. Somewhere called Nerthgat.
Nerthgat?
Well, that's what it says. Here, look in the local newspaper.
Well, let's have a look. Handclasp House, 10 Nerthgat. Oh, that's Northgate.
Oh.
It's the flipping newspaper, the Citizen. They're always printing things wrong like that. That's that. Well, it's that. You know, isn't it?
It's a matrimonial agency.
That's what I mean. A friend of mine went there, run by some woman called... Ooh, funny name. Staunch. Sylvia Staunch, I think it is. Didn't do no good for my friend, though. She had acne, you see.
Oh, dear.
Mrs. Staunch did her best. Fixed up with fellas to meet and that. But soon as I saw her acne, they was off.
Oh, the poor dear. What did she do?
She went to Australia.
Let's hope I shan't need to do that.
Seems to be all clear in here, Governor.
Right. Come in here, Sid. This bureau seems to be where she keeps most of her paperwork.
Oh, well, thank God for that.
What's that, then?
Well, no nasties. Not so far, anyway. Thought it might have been one of those, well, you know, mortal remains things.
Well, I suppose it might still be. No, I sincerely hope not.
Who says she was a good housekeeper? Keeps the place lovely and neat. Reminds me of Auntie Edith's place. Toothbrush and toothpaste are still in the bathroom, by the way.
That's ominous.
Found something?
I think so. Letters. Three of them. Each beginning, Lillian, my dear, and each ending with your impatient Rex. No, careful now. Better put our gloves on.
Oh, thinking of prints, eh?
Dabbed, Sid, surely. Do let's be professional. Right. Gloves on?
Yes.
Right. See what you make of that, then.
Decent note paper. Not distinctive, though, I shouldn't have thought. Available at most stationers. Good, firm handwriting. That's all I can say, really.
Aren't you going to read it?
Lillian, my dear, I wonder if you can imagine how much our little stroll together meant to me. It is so true, all that about sermons in streams and books in trees and good in everything. At least I see it is true when you are with me. Isn't the country marvellous? What a lot I was missing up there in my big Mayfair flat. Ah, London from the sound of it.
Brilliant. Go on.
Now I do nothing but dream about our little cottage. I am seeing the agent again tomorrow, and I hope to have good news from my publisher before the end of the week. It is just this matter of the deposit that is a teeny bit awkward.
Ah.
What? Oh! I see what you mean. But do not worry, my true one. We cannot have a cloud in those clear eyes, can we? Until Tuesday, your impatient Rex. Bloody hell.
Oh, you've spotted the misquotation, that Sermons in Streams bit. If Rex is an author, he'll have to do better than that.
Our Florence has a dog called Rex.
Does he write passionate letters to middle-aged ladies?
Of course not.
Oh, so we can eliminate him from our inquiries, then.
Well,
only joking, Sid. Sorry. Now then, letter number two. Lillian, my dear, I took a trip, or pilgrimage, should I say, to the church this morning. How right you are. What a noble edifice, and how fitting for vows until death. I think I must use the scene for my next novel. Thank you for lending me back those earlier letters. I was right, I think. They do contain some phrases that ought to be worked into the book. Ho-ho, clever.
How do you mean?
Getting his letters back.
Oh, yes. Cunning blighter.
There's more. You see what inspiration you give me. And here's some good news. My publisher sent me a long telegram this morning begging me not to consider the offer from that big rival I told you about. He says he will personally send me £2,000.
Oh.
Think of that, Lillian, out of his own private fortune, if his other directors do not manage to raise the money before settling day, as they call it, on change. You remember I told you about that. What a pity publishers are the slaves of the city these days. Art should be far above that sort of thing. Anyway, I tell you all this so that you can feel easier about the little investment in our happiness that you want to make.
Ah.
Quite so. You will see that I am right when I say that you have a business head upon those graceful shoulders. By the way, the agent says that cash will be best. These country swains are suspicious of checks. Good night, a sweet good night, my dear. I will be waiting tomorrow at our tree. Your impatient Rex. P.S. The agent also tells me that he thinks our enemy will withdraw his offer for the cottage once he knows that our deposit is paid. Good-o. Right. Your turn, Sid. Letter number three. Looks comparatively short.
Lillian, my dear, something has cropped up, as they say. That literary luncheon in London has been brought forward to Wednesday. What a nuisance. But my publisher says it can't be helped because J.B. Priestley couldn't manage Friday, so you will understand, I am sure. Come to Archery on Friday at 7, and I shouldn't be surprised if I bring something special from a certain Mary Goldsmith in old London town. Your impatient Rex.
Oh, I bet he was, too. Exit Mrs. Bannister via our tree.
He certainly writes like an author.
Oh, Sid.
Well, depends what sort of books you like.
It does indeed. Now then, what else? Bills, bills, bills. All paid promptly. Ah, bank statement and checkbook. Mrs. Bannister obviously hasn't made very frequent use of her bank services. Should make it easier. Now, here we are. Counterfoil marked self, £400. The investment in happiness, obviously. Borough Council, Water Company, Electricity Board, Insurance. Nothing there. Hey, just a minute, though. There's one here. 4 months ago. Sylvia Staunch, 20 guineas. Have you any notion, Sid, of who Miss or Mrs. Sylvia Staunch happens to be?
Sylvia Staunch. Sylvia Staunch. It rings a bloody bell.